Long COVID. It's a very real thing and its impact on some people can be life-changing. Almost a year on, some have not fully recovered from the COVID-19 virus. While the majority of people get back to full health within weeks, doctors say they are still seeing some patients who have persistent symptoms. In a moment, we will speak to Dr. Liam Townsend, who is Specialist Registrar of Infectious Diseases at St. James's Hospital. But first, our reporter Helen Donoghue has been speaking to people who have had long COVID.
Sinead Sheeran is preparing lunch for her family at home. But for her, even the taste of an apple is now strange.
It's juicy. Like I can kind of taste the sweetness of it. Can't taste apple.
It's almost a year since she contracted coronavirus, but she says she is still not back to her normal self.
I'm struggling with the chesty cough. I still have the pain in my lung, in my back. I still have fatigue. Everything tastes, I have this sewage smell. So I eat because I have to eat. I'm just not eating for enjoyment, because there's no enjoyment out of it. Everything just tastes rotten. I don't know whether I've reached a point where I'm going to get any better with this, or whether this is my new normal.
It's not the only way coronavirus has left its mark on her family.
Unfortunately, my dad contracted COVID. Very fit and healthy man, no underlying conditions, and he passed away in January, the 13th of January, from COVID pneumonia. Oh, it's been horrific. We weren't able to, you know, send him off the way we should have been able to send him off with the restrictions. You know, we weren't able to be with him when he passed away.
Others continue to experience the effects of the virus months on, including Ronan McGrath, who first got symptoms last March.
My breathing was so bad, and I was afraid to go to bed at night. I was actually afraid to sleep. It was that bad. And I had a couple of episodes then as well where I'd wake up at, let's say, about 5 a.m. and I'd be gasping for breath.
He says he feels he is now back to about 60% of his former self.
It's an effort every day, like, you know, that way, you know, when I'm walking, that I just can't breathe properly, you know, that way, you know. It's not normal, you know, that way. And then there's times when I just sort of, like, I get really, really tired as well.
Some estimates put the number of people who suffer from long COVID as high as 1 in 10 of those who contract the virus. But experts say more research is needed. Almost a year on, others say they are starting to turn the corner, including Claire Toomey.
I've definitely come a long way. I'm still struggling with fatigue, and I've had to make a lot of changes to my lifestyle. But in the last few weeks, most of my symptoms have subsided. So I'm definitely feeling better myself. I had to leave my 9-to-5 job. I'm not back running. I'm definitely not as active as I would be on a daily basis. I monitor my activity really, really closely, because if I go too far, I'll suffer a relapse. And when I say relapse, I mean a bout of fatigue, which puts me back in bed for a few days and usually brings on a couple of symptoms as well.
She set up a support group, which now has over 1,500 members. She says more understanding is needed.
You know, there's an expectation of, oh, it's just this 14-day virus. You should be back to work. You should be back to yourself. And in terms of treatment and care, so, you know, this varies across Ireland.
The HSE says a national approach to long COVID is under consideration. For Sinead Sheeran, she says she never imagined it could have left the mark it has on her family.
It has robbed the last year. It has taken my dad. It's taken my confidence, my health, it has taken, and it has had such an impact on my family, and my siblings, and, you know, I don't know whether I'm going to get any better, but I'm going to try and not let it take any more from me.
Wishing Sinead Sheeran well, ending Helen Donoghue's report. And more on this story on this evening's 6-1 News and online. We're going to continue the conversation now with Dr. Liam Townsend, who is Specialist Registrar of Infectious Diseases at St. James's Hospital in Dublin. Dr. Townsend, you have been studying long COVID extensively. I think you'd agree there are still far more questions than answers about it. Do the symptoms differ between people?
So first, thanks very much for having me on. I suppose it's a case of we know a lot more than we did, and there's still an awful lot more that we need to know. The symptoms, yes, they're hugely variable. Now, there's some very common recurring symptoms, and I suppose we heard them there. Fatigue and shortness of breath doing any sort of exertion are very common. And then you have a whole range of symptoms between muscle aches, bone and joint pains, and things that people sort of, that would all come under what we would term brain fog, which is just a mix of symptoms, really, where people have poor concentration, sometimes difficulty finding words, sometimes difficulty in coordination and things like that can come and go without any real predictors.
And why do some people suffer from it and others don't? Others make a recovery after a number of weeks and can get back to their lives as normal.
Yes, I suppose that's the million-dollar question, and it's the question we still haven't got the answer to. So at the moment, I suppose what we know is the vast array of symptoms, and we know a reasonable amount of you know, when we do test on people, what we expect to see. But what we don't know are the predictors. How do we identify somebody at the time of diagnosis that we can go, this person is at high risk of not recovering in what will be considered a normal time frame after infection? And that's something we don't fully know yet, although the patient characteristics are being a bit clearer. Like, we know it tends to be patients that are younger, so patients that were of working age, so not past retirement at the time of infection. And I suppose we know as well that just being admitted to hospital doesn't necessarily mean you're at increased risk of developing this.
That's interesting. And is it unique to COVID-19, or do other viruses cause similar long-term effects in people?
So I suppose there's been a long history of post-viral infection symptoms. So obviously this condition called post-viral fatigue, and that's something that's often applied to lots of different viral infections. So this sort of complication from a specific virus hasn't really been seen and hasn't really been studied. There was a little bit back in old SARS, which we thought was going to be the only SARS, when it came to Toronto. And they found that there was a significant burden of fatigue following that, even up to a year afterwards, but in a small proportion of patients. But there's very little precedent for this. I suppose we've realised that in every sense with COVID, that it's unique in that regard.
Yeah. And I suppose for people who have it, there are two questions perhaps that they want to know an answer to. How long will they have it? I mean, is it a permanent thing, or ultimately will they recover, but could they be damaged long term?
Yeah, so I suppose there's two things there. One is, how long will you have the symptoms for? And the other is there long term damage? I'll start with the reassuring news first, which is that almost all of the investigations that are done, and even those that have been done in the bigger research studies, which would have, you know, investigations that would be far more complex than would normally be done routinely, show very little evidence of long-term irreversible damage. So that would give us encouragement that there is not anything significant that has been done at the time of infection that's irreversible. With regard to how long will it last, it's difficult to say. The best stuff probably comes from the UK, where they say 1 in 5 patients probably still have a symptom in 5 weeks, and 1 in 10 at 12 weeks. And obviously we're still seeing a small amount who have persistent symptoms at 6 months and beyond. So it's hard to say exactly how long it'll last for patients, but we would be encouraged that most people, even if they have a long course, have a slow improvement over time.
Would you support the calls for it to be dealt with through a national strategy? Does it need to be to have that underpinning it? Because as we heard from some of the contributors there to Helen's report, this is having a real impact on people getting back to work.
Yeah, and I suppose that's probably the key outcome, because so these aren't patients that are being readmitted to hospital for long periods of time. They're not having a significant impact in that regard in terms of their health, but it's having a huge impact on their quality of life and their ability to work. So how do we return people to work? Well, we have to appropriately assess them. And I suppose the best way to do that in a standardised way is to have a national programme to make sure that it doesn't matter where you're actually based, that you get the same access to care and the same battery of tests done no matter where you are. And that probably needs to come from a national level. And that also means that we can then have an appropriate data set so that we're not relying on one centre or a couple of centres' data, that we can combine them all together, and that'll help us answer a lot more questions.
Okay, well, the best of luck to you and your colleagues in your work, and thank you for talking to us this morning, Dr. Liam Townsend, who is Specialist Registrar of Infectious Diseases at St. James's Hospital on Long COVID.